Well, good morning and welcome to Worship Online for this Sunday, February the 19th. It is the Family Day weekend, and I know that many of you are enjoying some special family time together, and I pray that it will be full of great memories. As a Christian organization committed to the ministry of reconciliation, we acknowledge the harms committed to the Indigenous people of this land by those of us who have settled here. We also acknowledge that the Treaty 7 region of Southern Alberta, on which we stand, is the ancestral traditional land of the Indigenous people, and we are grateful for their stewardship of the land and their hospitality, which allow us to live, work, and serve God, the Creator, here together. We also reaffirm our pledge to stand for justice and our commitment that our church is a place where all people, regardless of race, culture, sexuality, or faith, are welcome. Together, we hope that all can find the true love of God and authentic community. Our call to worship. In Christ, the God of heaven has made his home on earth. Christ dwells among us and is one of us. Highest of all creation, he lives among the least. He journeys with the rejected, and he welcomes the weary. So come now, all who thirst, and drink the water of life. Come now, all who hunger, and be filled with good things. Come now, all who seek, and be warmed by the fire of love. Come now, let us worship together, in spirit and in truth. Let us pray. And so we do come, O Father, to worship you. We praise your name, and we thank you that you journey with us through this life and that we are never alone. So touch us, we pray, and lead us in your everlasting way. Amen. Our first scripture reading can be found in Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We received recently a video from Canadian Baptist Ministries thanking us for our offerings during Advent, for the Refugee Fund, and we are grateful for all that you have given, and we share this video with you now. Let us pray together. God, whose gracious love for us embraced that long and lonely journey to the cross, gather us close to you in these days, when again we make that journey in meditation and recollection. Help us to contemplate again the way taken by our Savior, the false charges against him, the fear and flight of the disciples, the kiss of betrayal, the crown of thorns, the purple robe, and in such contemplation give us courage to face times in our own lives when he receives the resentful, make us forgiving. When defeated and discouraged, make us hopeful. Keep us from asking for mercy without giving it ourselves, from praying for your kingdom but never working for it. In these weeks, deepen our faith by your matchless grace. Deepen the measure of our gratitude and obedience to you. Move us who have so much to share with those who have so little. Uphold us when we summon our courage to speak out for the alien and stranger within our gates and for those long denied dignity and freedom. Guard and guide us through these days of meditation and remembrance as we journey with you. Guard and guide us through all our days until we come at last to that day when all our days and journeys will be gathered into your eternity and we shall be with you forever. Glory be to you, God. Amen. Our second scripture is found in Luke chapter 4, verses 1 to 13, and this time I'll be reading from the Message. Luke chapter 4, starting at verse 1. Now Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. For 40 wilderness days and nights he was tested by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and when the time was up, he was hungry. The devil, playing on his hunger, gave the first test. Since you're God's son, command this stone to turn into a loaf of bread. Jesus answered by quoting Deuteronomy, "It takes more than bread to really live." For the second test, he led him up and spread out all the kingdoms of the earth on display at once. Then the devil said, "They're yours in all their splendor to serve your pleasure. I'm in charge of them all and can turn them over to whomever I wish. Worship me, and they're yours, the whole works." Jesus refused, again backing his refusal with Deuteronomy. "Worship the Lord your God, and only the Lord your God. Serve him with absolute single-heartedness." For the third test, the devil took him to Jerusalem and put him on top of the temple, and he said, "If you are God's son, jump. It's written, isn't it, that he has placed you in the care of angels to protect you. They will catch you. You won't so much as stub your toe on a stone." "Yes," said Jesus, "and it is also written, don't you dare tempt the Lord your God." That completed the testing. The devil retreated temporarily, lying in wait for another opportunity. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Just before I start our message this morning, I want to encourage you to join us in person if you can next week. The Curios group, which is a gap year program of the CBWC, is coming to take our service for us. It's an outdoor informal. Our own Darson Peters is part of them, and they've actually just returning from Guatemala, and we are so grateful that they are willing to come and share with us some of the things that they have learned on their journey this year. Lent starts this week. 40 days of preparation and of meditation and contemplation about all that Jesus went through for our sakes. Now it actually ends up being 46 days because Sunday is not a day of Lent. Sunday is always a day of celebration of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I hope that as you start your journey through Lent, that you will join us with a few different things. Our Lent devotional book is ready, and you probably have received it via email, but if you desire a hard copy, please contact the office to obtain one. Thank you to Laura, particularly, who organized it all, and all of you who participated in sharing with us in this special way. It's one of the highlights of our church family, isn't it? Walking through Lent with each of us sharing some thoughts. Tuesday is Shrove Tuesday, although we're celebrating that today. Shrove Tuesday is actually sometimes called Pancake Tuesday, and in some places of the world, it's Mardi Gras and Carnival and all kinds of things. The idea is to use up any of the leavening agents in the house so that you don't use them during Lent. When the Israelites were in slavery in Egypt, they were told to prepare for a journey and to get rid of all their leavening. And so they had one last meal with yeast or whatever else they were using as a, to make dough rise, and they used it all up. And so we do that in, we prepare pancakes to use up the leavening agents. And it's just a it's a remembrance of what the Israelites went through as they were leaving Egypt. And then Ash Wednesday comes this Wednesday, and as is our tradition, we will have our prayer labyrinth set up in the gym for you to come between 5 and 7 in the evening, and I would encourage you to come, and start your journey to Lent as you journey through the labyrinth. It's very appropriate this year because our theme for this year is sojourning to the cross. Reverend Mindy Welton Mitchell, the executive minister of the American Baptist Churches in Wisconsin, wrote the series that we're going to use, and her outline she shared so openly. And so we are going to sojourn through Lent to the cross. And today we're going to prepare for the journey. Sojourning means stay in a place temporarily or live in a foreign land. It accompanies journeying. You can't really have one without the other. When you're on a journey, you stop and spend time temporarily sometimes in a place that is not your own. You sojourn. And this is very true for all of us, isn't it? We are living in a foreign land, as Scripture tells us. This is not our eternal home. Our earthly life is not home. And so we sojourn. And as we move into Lent, it is important for us to sojourn along the way as we stop and think about the sacrifices of Jesus Christ. Journeying is something we have talked about often. We are journeying through life together with our triune God as our guide. Journeying is actually a common theme through many of our world religions and in many cultures. In the Islamic faith, Hajj is a religious pilgrimage to Mecca, and that is an important thing if they can make that work. Hinduism has a journey, it's an important way of obtaining some of the better things in life. Wealth and peace and blessing, etc. And I could go on with Buddhism and Sikhism, etc. In our indigenous culture, all of life is a journey. One is always on a journey from before they were born until after they die. And one never journeys alone, but always within community, together with all of those who have gone before. This is a very essential concept in indigenous culture. And it was brought home to me even more when I read a book called Our Home in Treaty Land, Walking Our Creation Story, written by Raymond Aldred and Matthew Anderson. Raymond is an indigenous theologian, writer, and scholar, and Matthew is a settler theologian, scholar, and pilgrimage enthusiast, and they come together to explore what it means to live and walk in harmony on the land with God. I would love for you to read this book during Lent if you can. It's a way to understand what journeying and sojourning means in a different context and in a very powerful way. I hope that as we journey together, we can stop and soak in what we are learning. Sojourning together. We'll find new insights into what it means to identify with Christ and his journey during Lent. So let's explore our theme for today, preparing for the journey. Now, a whole bunch of questions as we prepare. What do you need to prepare for a journey? Well, first of all, what kind of journey is it? What type of journey? What's the purpose? Is this journey by foot, by car, or bike, or sea, is it a walk, a road trip, a pilgrimage, which is like a spiritual journey? What kind of journey is it? Is this a journey for pleasure, for getting into shape or losing weight, for learning, or for searching, or for finding oneself, or a combination of all of that? Next, there would be a lot of research into a journey, I would assume. You need to gather a lot of information. I love to anticipate journeys and travel. So what do we study? We gain knowledge. What will be the weather? What will be the food there? What do we need? What kind of clothing do we need and footwear? How long is this journey going to be? All of those things need to be answered as we plan for our journey. Decisions, decisions, decisions. What do I take? What is essential? What do I leave behind? How much money do I take? What kind of health insurance will I need? Where will we stay? In a tent? In a hostel? In a trailer? Are we glamping? Are we really roughing it? What kind of journey? And where are we going? Many people have a bucket list of the places they would like to visit in this world before they die, and I'm sure most of you do too. So where are you going? But you get the picture. I'm just going to take a little aside here. You'll notice right back up in here, there's a compass. I asked a few people from our leadership core if they had a compass that we could borrow, and Paul brought this one in for us. It's quite the story. He writes, according to my mom, my great father, David Aitken, my mother's grandfather, was a wonderful outdoorsman and was a Coogee bounty hunter during his life. He started out as a coal miner, then a logger, then a fisherman. The Cougar bounty hunter work supplemented the family income during the Depression. Paul says, I looked up the brand of compass. It's a J.H. Stewart, likely the 1916 officer's edition. It's incredible. It blows me away. Someone told me, he says, that my great-grandfather gave this to a fellow in the Comox area who kept getting lost. I heard that my great-grandfather would have to go out and find this fellow from time to time. Somehow, the compass made its way back into our family and finally into my possession. That is a very cool story and a very cool compass. But a compass might be part of what you need on your journey. Are you hiking? Are you going into the mountains? Do you need to have a compass? Do you need maps? Do you need water? Do you need food, flashlight? All those things we have to think about when we're traveling on a journey. Jesus had a unique journey. God had this journey all planned out in a way that we never ever would or could. Long before any of us existed, he knew that he would send his son, his beloved son, to earth to die for us, the perfect sacrifice, so that we might be saved for him, through him. And so Jesus left his heavenly home. He put on flesh, and he came to live and walk amongst his people, so that we might know him. His was an epic journey. And all along the way, he sojourned. He lived in a totally foreign place. He stopped and stayed in many places along the way. Jesus chose to sojourn to the cross, and he calls us to do the same. Now, I'm guessing that some of you were wondering, okay, I get all that, but what in the world does that have to do with the Luke 4 scripture that we read earlier? Well, Reverend Mindy writes the following, and I've added some of my own musings, as I sometimes do. The third temptation in Luke's account of the temptation was for Jesus to throw himself off the pinnacle of the Tower of the Temple in Jerusalem. It's the tallest point in the city. I have often wondered if people actually saw Jesus up there and wondered what in the world was going on, but that's a whole other conversation and complicated one. This last temptation was not so much about testing God and the angels, but rather it's the temptation to rush everything. To miss all the ministry, the healing and preaching and breaking bread together, and grow right to the end. This temptation took place at the beginning of his ministry. And it would be more than 3 years before he got to the end of his earthly ministry. He could have rushed it all. It was a temptation to go right to his death and resurrection because Jesus knows the promises of God. But he didn't do it. Okay? He chose the journey and he chose to sojourn along the way. It's about the journey, not the destination. And that's something that too often as Christians we forget. We have focused on getting into heaven, the destination, not life here on earth, the journey. Jesus calls us into repentance and forgiveness here. He calls us into the work and justice and mercy here and now. He calls us to live in the messiness of this life and live for the reign of God on earth as it is in heaven. Does that sound familiar? Jesus' time in the wilderness prepares him for his ministry, his journey. And it prepares us for Christ's way of life, the journey, as we move into Lent. We're getting ready for the journey. Jesus chose the journey, and he calls us to journey with him. So this week is the start of Lent, and I hope that we all start our Lenten journey together. Where are we going on this journey? Only God knows. We've never been this way before. We are now aware of the fact that this isn't going to be an easy journey, and we hope we hear God saying, slow down, stop a while, here with me, sojourn, learn from me, learn of me, let me journey with you. Psalm 23 that we read reminds us that God our shepherd looks after us. He finds us places to sojourn. Green pastures and still waters. And as we sojourn there, he restores our soul. He is our guide who leads us on the right paths. And even when the way is rough, he's with us. He provides all we need, comfort, protection, food, etc. We journey with him, always. What do we need as we begin to prepare this journey? Well, some things are obvious. The first thing that's obvious is that God has everything that we need. He is Jehovah Jireh, our provider. He provides for what we need. But I also hope that you have some tangible things with you on this journey. I hope you have your Bible, your guide to life, your Lent devotional book, your prayer journal, your companions, your spiritual friends. Particularly, I pray you have your faith and your inquisitive thinking, wondering mind that seeks to know Jesus in ways that you could never imagine. And I hope you have a willingness to let the Holy Spirit continue to work in you and stretch you and grow you and show you amazing things on this Lenten journey and throughout your life. Why are we going on this journey? Well, because Jesus is calling us. He journeys with us day by day. He has so much that he wants to teach us and to show us that we can only discover as we journey with him and as we sojourn with him, as we stop and stay a while in the places where he is, open to all that he is doing in us and through us. It becomes a journeying into God and a journeying with God into the world. So let's prepare and explore this year's Lenten journey with our triune God and with each other toward the cross. Let us pray. We do come into this season of Lent with you, O God. Prepare us for this journey. Soften our hearts and open our ears and minds to hear what you have to say to us and to be willing to do what you ask us to do and become what you are asking us to become. Help us not to rush toward a destination, but rather to journey with you and to slow down, to stop and spend time with you. may this be Lenten journey like we've never experienced before. In your name we pray. Amen. And now, in your journeys to and fro, God direct you. In your happiness and pleasure, God bless you. In care, anxiety, or trouble, God sustain you. In peril and in danger, God protect you. And the grace of God be with you all, now and always. Go. And our triune God, Creator, Redeemer, and Comforter, goes with you. Amen.